Hey, everybody. We're Bob and Audrey, a husband and wife team.
And this is our podcast all about relationships.
We are marriage and relationship enthusiasts, believing there is a God-given design to thrive in both life and love.
And we think that Jesus is amazing and worth following with everything you have. On this podcast, we are putting together the truths and best practices we have learned over our 35 years of marriage, and more specifically, over the past 18 years, where we have spent our lives helping people love their relationships.
After getting through our own family crisis, we became passionate about rescuing and mentoring others. We have authored numerous books and developed on-demand courses that can be found on our website, lovemarriedlife.com.
And with all that said, let's dive into the episode for this week.
A great big welcome and thank you. Thanks so much for taking time and joining us for this week's podcast of All About Relationships.
I believe that today's podcast really has potential to just take you to new levels of
always
energy and hope and really having perspective in your relationships. We all can get through challenges and parts, times that are disappointment, but how we handle them, how we choose to walk through them really changes it all. And that's what we're going to help you with in this upcoming episode.
Good, good. I want to do just a quick shout out to a couple.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Denny and Sandy. You brought them up this week.
I did, yes.
And they mentioned a benefit. You know, what a great benefit this podcast
Yeah, I got it in all caps. Thank you, Sandy. You sent me a text all in caps. Say thank you for this amazing resource. And then just took a picture of All About Relationships. And of course, I love you. I love all of my listeners. As far as I'm concerned, you guys are my best friends. And we get to have this time together because we're making a good investment into a good place. And there's going to be a return. So you taking time today, I really believe in you and your relationships with each other as couples and in your kids, your adult kids, your extended family, your friends. Hey, why not just have great relationships with everybody? So, what a concept.
Absolutely. So I just want, you know, this podcast to be an invitation for you. These are nuggets that we have mined out and have been a part of our life. But then I want you to mine them out within your life, because we can't just allow for this to just be information that you gather, but to be able to mine it out within your very own relationship, your marriage, your family, your parenting, you know, within the body of Christ. I mean, mine it out and make it yours.
Yeah. You know what, sweetie? Something you said at the beginning of the year was, it has stuck with me. And we were talking about the big picture of our year, and we were talking about what we're going to do now because things have changed and stuff like that. But I remember something that you said, just said, Audrey, for the last 15 years, in some ways, we have been so reactive. You know, even since our story came out, we've just been reactive. You know, we've reacted in just saying yes to invitations and going places and, you know, letting our story be a total story of hope.
Right. But I also think sometimes, you know, life happens to us.
Yeah.
You know, way too easily.
Yes.
And we just kind of go along with the punches, it feels like.
And the direction. Here's an invitation, take this.
Go here, go there. You know, in a positive, you know, or negative way. And
because for the last, you know, 18 years, actually, we've been traveling so much. And as much as that sounds glamorous to some, it really does take a toll on just the steadiness and the calmness of what life can be.
It's a different lifestyle.
It's a different lifestyle.
You know, and which it, radically, it does affect your home culture, and it does affect your parenting. Yes, it does.
And when you have, like, a lot of people just say, wow, Bob and Audrey, your story literally is H-O-P-E, hope. Like, if you guys can do this, then we can do anything. And we've heard that, if not once, a million. I'm such an exaggerator, but we've heard it so many times that we have hope to bring, and I want to be a messenger of hope. So we've, you know, said as yes as much as we can to promoting this amazing story of God's redemption. So in other words, we've been reactive since our story kind of came out, but we really, earlier this year, Bob,
you said—
It was a fine tune for you, Bob, but you said, honey, it's time. Let's be proactive and let's choose what our life message is going to be. as a marriage and as a couple. And so we've been really...
These next 15 years are going to be pretty
awesome. I'm 55. And so 55 to 70 are going to be my best yet. We love 70. Do you get visuals? Ooh. I don't know how old you are. It doesn't even matter. I'm telling you, if you're anywhere near our age, we really have to remember that to some people, we are old people. But to us, honestly, I promise you, we do not feel like old people.
When I was in my 20s and I saw people in their 50s.
Oh my gosh, so old.
So old.
So old. But anyway,
and here we
it's
are.
Fun, isn't it, that we always get to choose and be proactive. So that's just been, this message today is really going to be one of being proactive.
Because what we want to do and what we're really called to do is impart life.
Yeah.
Everyone just say life.
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 You know, life to me.
Yeah.
You know,
last life to my relationships. Last week, the power of the life and death in the words.
Not just sharing exciting things.
Right.
We not only want to be revolutionists, you know, in this way when it comes to relationships, but we long to infuse life.
Love
it. Infuse life into individuals and families.
I felt energy behind that. When you said that, Bob,
very proactive in this.
I felt the energy move out to him who has ears to hear. We're going to infuse life into your life and relationships.
So today, there will be a place where we have the opportunity to give to you a crown of life that creates practical success wherever you may go. You see, we have found success, and now what we want to do is be able to give to you.
Yes.
You see, the opportunity to experience that crown.
I don't know,
of life
honey. That
yourself.
Almost just turned me on. You gave me two of my favorite words, practical and success. I love both those words.
Yeah. Another thing about success that I do want to just kind of clarify because it helps me.
Yeah.
And that is that too often we see success as a destination rather than a sense or
an abiding feeling. Yeah.
You know, and living and really being content.
Yes.
Finding that contentment. So again, don't look at it as a destination, you know, a finish line that you need to cross, but rather, this is the life that I choose.
Yeah, it's not even necessarily a milestone.
Right.
It's the journey of every day, just that feeling like I am enough, I'm approved, I've arrived because I am His, I am God's. Yeah, so that's really good, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a grace. There's a grace that comes from God. There's an enablement and an empowerment that comes from Him that becomes victorious. You know that, hey, today I want you to begin to realize I can and I will be an overcomer.
Right.
You know, let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Yeah. And I believe that this is true not only for your life, but also for your relationships. And there are couples that we have been counseling and mentoring, you know, for an extended period of time. And it's just like, I am honestly done. You know, because I am like, no more. We're going to see that breakthrough for
yes,
you.
Yes.
You see, and it's like, it's time.
It's time.
And so I have such confidence and real hope that the seeds have been planted and now they're going to begin to produce a harvest of righteousness.
I love it.
And I think that's even for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the message today, we're calling it, you know, boosting energy in your relationship, but really the key word today is hope. And I'm excited about this particular podcast because hope changes me. Hope energizes me. Hope becomes so much in my life. As I said, our story gets to be hope. Our life gets to be hope. And excited is one of my favorite emotions. And what is your favorite emotion,
Bob? We might
Bob?
Have to go back and just see how many times you say
I know,
the word
Bob says, how many times can you say excited in one? I said, well, I guess I think it's everyone's. I thought in my limited understanding that it was everybody's favorite emotion, but apparently it's just mine.
That's fine. I don't know if you would call it an emotion.
I've always been excited.
Yeah, yeah. But for me, I like feeling.
Yeah.
Satisfied.
Oh, that's one of your favorite emotions.
Yeah, satisfied.
Nice. Yeah.
With it comes a lot of rest.
Yeah, so I like that.
That would be for me.
So when we're going to be talking about hope today, I know we're all meant to live in hope. That's what we were created for, to live in that place and that abiding feeling of hope. But Bob...
Joyful, confident anticipation.
Oh, I love that.
That God's very purposes, his promises, his will, his plan for my life... not only can, but will become my reality.
So just,
that's my hope.
I love that definition. So I'm going to ask you guys as listeners, do you have like a lifelong joke that you've told all your life that is still funny every time? Because I do. And I did not ask Bob for permission to share life story. But I'm going to share it because, honey, it is hilarious.
Oh, no. Okay. There is editing.
No. So you guys, this is it. In our podcast with you guys, I figure this is Bob and Audrey. This is who we are, unfiltered,
vulnerable.
Okay, so back in the early 80s when Bob and I were in Bible school, there was a famous preacher and he loved...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, quickly.
Okay, he was known, his reputation was that he made the most profound... opening statement.
Boisterous statement.
Yeah, he was strong. Yes.
Okay, and here we go.
So he was about to speak to, 2,000 leaders, and he came up to the microphone. He was introduced with this eloquent biography of all his successes, and he came up in his important presence and opened with his statement where he meant and intended to say, "Praise God, I've got hope in my soul tonight."
Mm-hmm.
But he got his words mixed up, but with just as much passion, he said, "Praise God, I've got soap in my hole tonight." Please tell me you're laughing. Please, please, please tell me you're laughing. Because that is funny every time.
Take no offense.
Yes, take no offense. Because you know what? That's just funny.
It's just funny.
And it has the word hope in it, so I felt like it was appropriate.
Okay.
And laughter is so good for your soul. And it's like medicine to your bones. Yeah. I'm just trying to make it scriptural.
I want to be a person of hope.
Yes.
Okay.
And I want to be a person that has fun. So anyway, we were meant to live with hope and joy and peace. But focusing on hope today is like, it's almost like rehearsing a future of freedom. Think about this. What would happen if you did a rehearsal for your next day, for your next year? Rehearse your future being full of freedom and joy. Because this is something that leads us to hope. Because when we have hope, this is the benefit. We're not easily offended. We're not easily hurt or feel rejected. Because it seems like those offenses and hurts and rejection feelings, it's almost like they can't penetrate when there's an atmosphere of hope around you. And you'll meet people that are full of hope. And it's not because life is kinder to them, but because that person has chosen to process life differently through hope. And the cool other thing is that you don't have to have a certain personality for hope. It's everyone's destiny to choose to have hope. So having hope is basically imagining a positive outcome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to use your God-given imagination.
Exactly.
Your imagination wasn't given to you by God to be a playground for the enemy.
Hate that
what
statement
a lie.
Is such a lie.
But,
like,
but people feel, oh, the devil. No.
Oh.
You see, worry is actually meditation on a potential or a negative outcome.
Yes.
So all I want to do is I want to engage my God-given imagination and I want to, in faith, being able to identify the promises of God, I want to be able to begin to see the end from the beginning. And hope is the very thing that draws me into God's preferred future for my life. And so we're going to be talking about taking the seeds of faith. I just want you to begin to see a seed. So they say that you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. So there is so much potential. Mm-hmm. And when you take a look at creation, what God does is he comes in and he creates order out of chaos. And he fills the earth with so much potential that out of the earth comes new life.
Yes.
And I just want you to know that your life, it may feel as though it's been a bit chaotic,
mm-hmm.
but I'm telling you, if you would allow yourself to begin to imagine with God, begin to root yourselves deep in the soil of His marvelous love, and begin to fill your heart with the truth of His word and of His promises and of His realities, you see, all of a sudden, you will begin to venture into unlimited and new possibilities for your life.
So well said, because this is really the reason we can't deny ourselves hope.
We cannot.
No, because a future full of hope, it might still be uncertain. There might be unknowns. Of course there is for all of us. But hope is that energy that just drives us toward that amazing outcome.
So don't grow weary.
Right.
Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary. Galatians, you know, chapter 6 and verse 9 says that. You know, don't grow weary in well-doing.
Yeah.
Because in time, if you do not quit, please don't quit. I want you to be one that reaps a harvest of righteousness.
Perfect.
This is the way my life is to be. This is the way our marriage was intended to be.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the harmony within the home that we were meant to have and to live in. You see, do not quit. Do not grow weary in well-doing, because I don't want you to miss that harvest of righteousness.
I love it. And relationships work best with hope. I'm just telling you, relations in with your kids, everyone around you, your partner, your marriage partner, relationships were great when there's just hope in there. It's just, it's almost like, well, I have actually, we've written down 9 things that hope is.
Okay.
And let's just go through these 9 and let's just talk about hope.
Relationships work best with hope. Therefore, I want to be, you will be today. You will be a contributor of hope.
Into your relationships.
Yes. And I'll use that word again. You're going to infuse life.
You're
going to infuse hope.
Maybe wherever you are, if you're working out or just in your car, just say it out. Say your words. Last week we talked about works, but just say, I'm choosing hope. Just say it out loud. I'm choosing
hope. Choosing hope.
I am, and I'm choosing life and hope.
And hope will become the fuel for my life.
Love it. There's some great energy right there. So number one, we're going to talk about 9 things. Hope is risky business.
It can be.
Sometimes when we're helping couples in crisis or individuals in crisis, it's very scary to have hope. It is risky business. And I like to say it like this. Like, if you're going to live hopeless, you know what? You'll never get disappointed. But if you live with hope, you know what? You're going to occasionally get disappointed, but you can clarify your purpose on earth just by hoping. Because you see, faith and hope are different. Faith specifically sees and says, this is what I'm believing for. It's almost like, you know, this is what I see. This is my promise. And it specifically looks like this. But hope says whether that specific thing happens or not, it's still going to be good.
Or
we can't control that process.
Let hope be that safety net for you.
Yes, that's it, Bob. Like a safety net, because there's just an overwhelming trust that, you know what, my future, and I can trust God for my future, and that His promises are real and they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about hope, yes, it might be risky business. But you know what, honey? You have better problem-solving abilities when you have hope. It's just one of those proven facts that you can problem-solve better.
So much.
When you have hope, because you're thinking of possibilities.
Otherwise, you're just brain, naysayer. No.
Right.
No answer, no way out.
But you can problem-solve. Yeah. It might be risky business, but it's a great way to problem-solve. Mm-hmm.
So last week, I'd encourage our listeners to go back, listen to last week's podcast. These two kind of marry together quite well. And a declaration is what I pronounce or I declare that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And a decree is an agreement with heaven.
Right.
So as we begin to speak about hope, I'm beginning to articulate this decree because I want to agree with heaven's realities. You know, with His promises and purposes for my life being expressed and experienced in and through me. And so This is where I choose to step or to make that adjustment and to come into an agreement with the Lord.
I love it. And that really is exactly taking a segue right into number two. The thing about hope is that hope is your choice. Bob, you said it just so well just now. And one of our dear friends, Steve Backlund, says it like this. There are no hopeless circumstances. Mm-hmm. And you might think, what? What? I could name you at least 10 hopeless circumstances sometimes. Right now. But there are no hopeless circumstances. There are just hopeless people. Profound. Drop the mic. I don't want to be one, right? So I just thought this would be a good time in the podcast to do just like this little mini course on emotions, feelings, and thoughts. I mean, we could do a 10 podcast series on how emotions, feelings, and thoughts work, but the way a hopeful person handles disappointment is different from some who have hope and don't have hope.
Right, because what we need to do is actually control, begin to notice, you know, what our thoughts are. Control our thoughts, the thoughts of our mind, as well as the thoughts of our heart. They're very different from each other, but we have feelings. Everyone say feelings.
Feelings.
Feelings are very different, but feelings drift into the thoughts that we begin to have in our mind.
Yeah.
Okay. And then these thoughts then begin to generate emotions.
Yes.
The thoughts of the mind, okay, they follow the emotions of thought.
Right.
Okay. So the thoughts of the mind, they follow the emotions that we have and generate thought.
Exactly.
The thoughts of the heart, they follow feelings and generate thought.
Right.
Okay, so again, what we're simply doing here is really making a clear distinction between feelings and emotions.
Yes.
Okay, so we have the thoughts of the mind, thoughts of the heart. We have feelings and we have emotions.
Exactly. And so emotions are just what we see fleeting in a day.
They come quick.
They come quickly.
They ignite.
You get news.
They jump.
Good
they
news,
spike.
Good news, bad news. Oop, that made me feel this way. Gave me the emotion of this, emotion of that. And so feelings.
Pick me up.
Feelings can be bad or good. Emotions can be bad or good all day long.
Yeah.
But our
Give
thoughts,
you a high or a low.
What thought we focus on creates an emotion. So if you're thinking about good news, the emotion will follow. But below the thoughts are the abiding feelings that don't change much. Those are like the thermostat in your life. They are your abiding feelings. And that's where
you might have a spike up, you know, but then
they
eventually you'll come back to your heart normal.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
What you believe to be true about yourself, God, and others. You might hit a low, but you'll come back up, you know, to where your thermostat or the beliefs of your heart are set.
Exactly. And so we have to understand that all day long you are going to have emotions that will either feel hopeful or hopeless. And so what you focus on in your thought life is going to create that next emotion. And a lot of people think they could just live, again, that word reactive by default. I heard this news and it made me feel this. You know, we use that word feeling, which is fine. You know, we don't need to get technical. But the thing is that all day long, we are choosing what we focus on and it will affect our emotions. Again, we can do more about this in other series and things like this, but we just wanted to mention that you get to choose what you focus on. And with your intention, where you give your attention, that is going to spike your emotions that you experience in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the third one that we want to talk about is that hope is not an illusion. Okay, it's not just wishful thinking, but rather actually anchored in the very promises of God. Last week we touched on the significance and the power of words, and we read Proverbs 18:21, where it says, "Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences." And so, you know, again, either way, positive or negative, but recognize that the words you speak, it's almost as though they're scattering seed. And so I want to be very careful, not fearful, but careful with the words that I speak. What I want more of, talk about it.
Whatever you want more
of. Whatever you want more of.
More beauty in your life. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you've seen when you put on a walk. Just behold all the beauty that's surrounding you right in this moment. And I'm sure when we talk about hope, some people may be saying, you guys need to be a little more realistic. Like, you guys are sounding a little on the over positive side.
Well, here we go. Faith isn't denying the reality of your circumstances.
Right.
Okay. Faith isn't denying those realities.
Right.
But faith is denying the circumstances the right to remain in control of your life.
Wow.
Okay. So again, in faith, I'm not denying the reality. Hey, this is the situation, or these are the circumstances that are surrounding my life. But when my heart is hope filled,
yeah,
it's anchored in the promises of God, and then faith, I begin to plant that seed, that promise, that truth in the soil of hope.
Right.
See that seed, and whether it be an apple seed, don't know how many apples are in a seed, but I'm going to plant that seed of God's promises for my marriage, for my finances, for my health, for my children, my generations. I'm going to plant that seed mm-hmm. in the soil of hope.
Right.
And faith then is beginning to deny the complicated circumstances of life the right to remain in control of my life.
Yep.
And so that's, hey, I'll be positive about this all day long.
Right. I love it. Because, you know, you might be in a situation where it feels hopeless. You have the emotions of hopelessness right now. Maybe it's that difficult in your marriage relationship or with your children. Well, it really can be just a moment of, wait a minute, maybe this is for me. You know, I loved a song we used to sing about Ezekiel 36. It's about dry bones. And just, I don't know if you know this scripture, but there's a story in Ezekiel 36 that talks about there was this valley in the desert just full of dry bones, skeletons. And as God chose, like as they prayed, they spoke life to the dry bones and they came to life. And I just want to say that God is not scared of dryness, you know, because people think it's dead. It is a dead situation. Mm-hmm. You know what, you guys, today it's your day to say, God's not scared of dryness. It might feel lifeless in this particular relationship, but I'm going to use my words to say live inside of me. I'm not going to change the people around me, but in me, I'm going to choose life and we're going to see resurrection take place.
Yeah. I want my life. I want you to begin to see your life, to begin to glisten with hope.
Yes.
Okay. That the words that proceed from your mouth.
Yep.
Okay. The actions that you have, the thoughts that you think. Okay. I want you to begin to see them glistening with hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I, whether it be a salt shaker, you know, however, I'm just going to sprinkle hope on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm also going to go about life. Okay. I'm not going to allow circumstances any longer to dictate nor to limit my life, but I'm going to begin to go about life as normal. But then as well, I'm going to begin to add faith to it.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I'm going to invite you into the normalcy of my day.
Every normal thing that I do.
Yep.
The walk, the cooking,
yep,
the eating,
yep,
the talking. Everything, you're working, everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And I just have full anticipation that in your timing, you'll create the opportunity. You'll generate an open door. You'll create a conversation. You see, because I'm fully persuaded. I've persuaded my heart of your truth and of your realities.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll become mine. Now, I'm not going to become forceful and try to make it happen.
No, and you don't. Yeah, sorry.
But I want you to begin to see hope as your indicator.
Yeah.
And let that just be kind of a meter, you know, that you kind of gauge in your life. Cheerfulness, you know, is the evidence that we have attached faith to our decisions.
Right.
So let your heart be cheerful.
Yeah.
Let your heart be joyful because you're attaching faith to the decisions of your life.
Exactly. And this will not necessarily make you obnoxious where you're preaching this message to everyone in your house saying, guess what? I've got hope and you better too. No. Just be content mm-hmm. and happy within the inward part because of yourself.
Because you're creating the culture.
Yes.
And you're influencing the atmosphere
yep.
of your home and relationships.
Whether you say the words out loud to the people, that's their choice in their journey, but you get to be contagious in
okay,
that.
Okay, so let's move along yeah. quickly. Hope is also, number five, setting the thermostat.
Yeah.
Again, that comes from the beliefs of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we'll talk, let's say, next episode.
Sure.
Audrey, let's just make note of that. And
okay.
we'll come back to this. And how do I begin to create or adjust? How do I adjust the thermostat of my life?
Okay.
I want to be more hopeful, but it's like the emotions come.
Right.
And then I lose it.
And then I lose it.
I
then
lost
I'm back
the inspiration,
to my hopelessness again.
And now I'm back to where
right.
I was. Okay, so let's make note of that. And we'll talk about that
okay.
in our
well,
next
then I'll
podcast.
Just take those notes and do that for
okay.
next week. Okay,
also,
great.
Also, then we'll move to number six. And we've talked about this mm-hmm. already. And that is hope is a soil.
That's right. Because, just as you listeners, I just wanted to let you know that we talk about this stuff during the week with each other. Because I was trying to put some understanding about hope. I said, honey, I said, hope feels like fuel. Hope feels like it energizes my life. And he says, I see it more like soil. And Bob, that really sat well with me, just continuing to just establish that hope is like soil, because any opportunity, if you put it into hope, I put a prayer into the soil of hope as mm-hmm. a seed, if I even, give generously to someone mm-hmm. as a seed, but I put it into that soil of hope, it's like it's the perfect atmosphere for nurturing. To have faith-filled joy and faith-filled peace, because it's really saying I'm choosing to trust. And that's what I think the bottom line of hope is for soil, is this, I want the whole garden of my heart to be with this soil that just breathes, I can trust God. Yep, this mm-hmm. is happening in my life, but I can trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is happening in my life, I can trust God. Mm-hmm. I've invested in choosing righteousness, like making good choices. And I can yeah. trust God.
There are two things, that farmers really care for.
Yeah.
They care for the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they also care for the soil.
So true.
When you take faith and hope and you marry those together and you operate in love,
wow.
you're unstoppable.
Love it.
Okay, next one.
Okay, number seven.
Huh?
Number seven, hope. Is a point of view.
Oh, sorry, I missed that. Please go ahead.
Okay, number seven about hope is that hope is a point of view. It's uh-huh. how you see. Yes, it's soil, but it's also a point of view because you don't wait for circumstances to get better and then have hope. Some people think, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
That's really nice message, you guys, today. But right now it's really bad. Like, you have no idea what I'm going through. When things get a little better, then I'll re-listen to this episode and then I'll have hope. Listen, compassion and mercy is there for you. Like, we are really feeling you, and we're not denying how challenging it is right now. But those who are hopeful and just that optimism, that energy boost of hope, they can have this amazing energy to untangle the negative outcomes. Hopelessness usually results in becoming resentful and focused on shortcomings of the people around you. That's what, like, just as much as hope is a point of view, hopelessness is also a point of view. And if you're looking through the lens or the glasses of hopelessness,
and hopelessness will inevitably lead you to a place of despair.
Yeah.
See, despair is that place
yeah.
of no hope.
Yeah, exactly. And so, being hopeless, as you say, it actually does make you resentful, and you start to, get fixated on all yeah. the things your kids aren't doing, your husband or your wife are not doing. It's like,
right.
If you're feeling fixated on how awful the people around you are, really, please take this word to heart, and please just feel like, whoa, I've been viewing hopelessness has been my lens because I'm constantly resentful and I'm constantly fixated on the shortcomings of the people around me. So hope is a lens. It is a point of view.
Yeah. And I believe just a couple podcasts back, we took some time and talked about
resentment,
dealing with
yeah.
resentment.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And again, hope is an abiding feeling.
Right.
Now, remember, we differentiated between feeling and emotion.
Yes.
And this is an abiding feeling.
Yes.
And so
it's not necessarily an emotion. You don't just get a hopeful emotion. You might get happy or excited. Those are emotions. Mm-hmm. But hope is more of an abiding feeling that's based and founded and established on the beliefs mm-hmm. of your heart. I believe
I'm loved. For me,
that's
where I come to the place of satisfied.
Right. And I come to the place of, I don't know, excited is more of an emotion. Well, super positive. I don't know what that is.
You're an eternal optimist. I give it to you. Uh-huh.
But this is what I want to do, Bob, is get practical for because people say, okay, all those beliefs of your heart that you always talk about, what if I do have a belief in my heart that it'll never get better? And it never has gotten better. Mm-hmm. It's been the story of my life. What do you do then? And on a real practical way, because remember, that's another one of my favorite words is practical. Go to a quiet place and meditate on one of the promises of God. And when I say meditate, take that promise of God and meditate on it, dwell on it, just create a picture, a movie, but until it becomes believable, see the picture until it becomes believable, and then meditate on that until you feel the emotion of that happening.
It begins to ignite that emotion
yes.
in you.
Yes, and see? So that might take a while for some uh-huh. of you. Just that one promise, just stay focused on it until it becomes so believable that you can feel it.
Because when you meditate, again, worry is meditation on the negative. Mm-hmm. But when I choose to meditate on his promises, meditation doesn't make it happen.
No.
But it does make it believable.
That is so profound because think some of you might even hear that and go, okay, Audrey. Well, listen to this. Have you ever had a thought of worry? Maybe that person was in trouble. Maybe that person isn't okay. You meditate, you get that thought, and now you meditate on it and you create pictures. You create scenarios. You create movies, and it starts to become believable. And believe me, you will feel an emotion pretty quick. You'll start to feel fret, terror, or whatever these, or dread, or any of these feelings that all of a sudden become that. Well, on the positive spectrum of that, it's exactly the same sequence. You meditate on what is beautiful and right and good, and you know, even think about what's praiseworthy and awesome, and you meditate on that until it's believable, and then you start to feel the emotion of, wow, I'm happy. Yeah. Wow, I've got joy.
Yeah.
I've got peace in my heart.
And you begin to prepare yourself. Now your heart begins to expand. You know, now you have a place. Because God has a way to get you from where you are to where his promises for you can be. See, he has a way. He makes a way for us. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks about. You know, the way of escape.
Yeah.
You see, temptation, you know, wants to entice you, you know, to participate or to try and generate, you know, the promises of God, or God, I can actually do this without you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, I'm going to meditate. God, I'm doing this with you.
Yes.
You see, these are your intentions. These are your purposes for my life, because the kingdom of heaven, the resources of the kingdom of heaven are mine in Jesus. The authority of the kingdom of God, the lordship of Jesus in my life. You see, the kingdom moves forward much more by what I believe than what I do. And so often what we say is, oh God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? And it's almost as though just settle, you know, abide. This is where this is the invitation. Jesus said, abide in me and let me abide in you. And then fruit becomes extremely natural and effortless. And so there's that abiding place, because the kingdom moves forward far more quickly by what you believe more than what you do. And that's Galatians chapter 3. How did you receive? By doing or by believing.
I love it. And believing really is meditating until you're emotionally invested. I mean, when did we learn this as little kids? No one helped me learn this one. We thought worrying was fine. Everyone does it, but it's not. Meditation is our choice of where we're going to put our focus. Okay, number 9, the last one.
Well, last one, then we got to be done, babe.
Okay, hope is like a muscle. In other words, you can grow it.
You exercise it.
You can develop it, mm-hmm. and it will sustain you. Once you're a heavy lifter when it comes to hope, it's like whatever comes at you, it's like, nope, we can lift this. Like I have a strong hope muscle. I am resilient and I'm going to thrive no matter what happens.
Yeah. Hope is a structure of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It places you in a position of anticipation of the future.
Right.
And it influences how you feel in the present.
Wow, say that again.
Okay, hope basically helps you structure your life in anticipation
of the future.
Uh-huh. And it influences how you feel in the present.
Love
it. So again, and this is where I want to bring in that statement where success is not a destination.
Right.
But it's for me in the here and now.
Right, because I will not have perfect circumstances. Mm. But that will not make me so, like even Paul says, I've learned to be content no matter what. Jail, millionaire, whatever. But I've learned to be inwardly successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you put me anywhere, put me in any circumstance and watch me grow. Yeah. Watch me thrive. Watch me influence the people around me.
So just be careful. Don't allow disappointments, disappointments of life to form your beliefs.
Right.
Because we have a choice.
Yeah.
Everyone say, I have a choice today.
I have a choice.
The very character of God and the promises of God that they will establish the beliefs of my heart.
Yeah. And don't get discouraged if you have a lack of hope. There's a reason why you're listening today.
Yep.
And we believe in you. We're praying. We're sending this message out with a big hug and with huge love and huge prayers and just knowing that, we might not know the details, but don't get discouraged by your lack of hope because this is the day to discover this is where your battle is. Oh, I thought my circumstances were hopeless, but apparently I've been hopeless. And all of a sudden that empowers you to embrace God who's so full of mercy and compassion. He's not asking for perfection in this way, but he wants to infuse, you started the podcast with this, infuse you with life that there can be hope. And we don't have to work up an emotion, but we can change our focus and discover any lies that have hindered us.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask a good question to ask today, because when you ask good questions, you get good answers, is what do I need to believe in order to have hope for this? So whatever circumstance you're in, what do you need to believe in order to have hope for this? That's a good question. Just as you turn it off, I don't turn off the podcast today, just start really answering that question. What do I need to believe in order to have hope for this?
Yeah. And again, the most important moment of this podcast, okay, it's not 10, 15
it wasn't my joke.
Minutes ago. No, definitely. But the most important is the next few moments, minutes, after you turn the podcast off. And I want you to be able to begin to set the intention, set the rudder, of your heart, allow, because you're going to begin to make some decisions and just recognize, wow, I have choice. This is how much my Father loves me, that I actually have choice. And repentance is such a gift. Because now I get to change the way that I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm allowed to make the choice to be able to put off the old and put on the new.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to begin to see this as the most beautiful invitation, because Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but he's here to tell you what's right with you.
Mm.
And there are so many untapped, limitless resources available to you.
I love it. So
because he is, hear this, he is the God of all hope.
And he's yours. He's your dad and you're his child. So when you turn it off, start rehearsing the future of freedom and joy because you are a hope-filled person.
Good. All right. Again, we leave this with you. I hope, there we go. I want you to know about our invitation to be a part of our very first live virtual event coming up at the end of this month, September 26th, and Podcast 30. When you go to the website, Love Married Life Podcast 30 is a promo code that gives you $30 off the event. Now, this event won't be re-airing any other time, but it is a one-day event.
It's live, and not recorded.
It is going to be so good. And I have such, you know, great anticipation for that day. And we'd love for you to be a part of it.
It will be amazing if you join us.
Okay.
We'll see you then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.